Okay. Sure. March up through them and motion. Chris, what's your time in here?
I'm basically going to have to take off about 5 minutes.
Okay.
I got to be in class at about 6:30. I want to home change before I go there. So I just didn't know if anybody had anything they wanted to ask before I left. Ben's got all kinds of notes sitting around everything else.
I don't think so. I think I saw Russell outside.
Okay.
So we'll get
Chris has already seen that, though.
You've seen this from Jessica.
Is that the one for Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it should be all taken care of. I did put it in there. This is my report a little bit on it.
Okay.
I can give you a quick run through if you want. I don't know. Did you get to see it?
I did read it just now.
Yeah. I did talk to the woman the next day. We found out Brian was on call. With Brian. Brian totally denies the whole thing. Says, nope, that's not how it happened. As a matter of fact, she was very rude to me. She was very, very combative. Anything I tried to tell her, she said, nope. And she basically just wanted him to come up with it. He said that there was nothing he thought he could do, and that he told her that. And she should just let it sit, and that it should clean up. And that's how he left it with me. He did tell me that she had called when I first talked to Don. I didn't know who it was. But he told me in a nonchalant way, oh, by the way, this is a normal call over the weekend. So that's why I couldn't remember that he even talked about it. But after he mentioned it, I did remember. I did call her. She basically told me the same story there, a much toned-down version of it. She said that she said, I might have lost it at the end of the conversation and told him, well, maybe I need to get a lawyer. She goes, that's when he hung up on me. So I said, okay. So I went over to the house. I flushed the water service off this morning. I told her, I made sure she was going to be there. I flushed the water service off this morning. She had a filtration system there, but it was on and the bypass was on. So apparently this is why she was getting dirty water. It was the filter wasn't doing its job. But I told her about it. And I said, I apologize again. I apologized when I talked to her on the phone. Said, you know, if there was any way that this guy would root you, I'd like to apologize for us. And she said, well, let's not even talk about that. Let's see if we get the problem fixed. When I talked to her, she says, the past is the past. She says, let's keep it going with you.
Right. So in your opinion, the problem's resolved?
Yes. We have had problems there before. We had to replace the curb stop. We moved it down as far as we could with the property line and raised the tap up higher to come off, so just in case it was sediment from the bottom of the main.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that she had problems because we didn't finish flushing. Between manpower, people leaving in the middle of flushing and everything else,
mm-hmm.
We had to put it on hold.
Okay, so her neighborhood wasn't fully flushed last spring.
No. And I do have this all documented, put in the file. It's there for me in the future.
Okay. And do you have anything planned to follow up with her, just to make sure?
I left in my car, told her if there was any problems to call me, ask for me. I actually brought one of the new guys over with me. He was very good with her. She seemed like the sweetest old lady that you've met.
Could have been a bad day. Yeah.
She was just very happy to have somebody there to do something.
Okay. All right. And you followed up with Brian and you feel that's not an issue?
I followed up with Brian and I said, Brian, you know, this isn't the way because I didn't act like that. You know, it's her word against mine.
Okay. Well, he's been dealing with customers for 25 years. It's the first I've heard of something like that.
Yes.
It sort of takes me by surprise.
He's
so
got an abrasive personality, so I don't know.
Still, I've never.
I
was shocked to read that, and I said I can't even imagine it. You know,
I really got to thinking about it afterwards, too. This was just something I thought of today, this afternoon, as I was referencing up. I am going to follow up with her again because if I remember, I think Jake came in one weekend and told me that he had somebody that was very mean to him on the phone on the weekend, one weekend. It was guy left and everything else. I'm not saying this is the situation or anything like that, but I just want to make sure she can call twice. Because okay. I might be mistaken this for something else also. So I do want to check into it one more time with her and ask her if this is the only time she called.
Okay.
It was the only call from that number in call history. On the on-call.
All the way through?
As back as far as it would go.
Okay, then there couldn't have been a change.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah, I don't foresee any problems tonight. I had talked to Mark Boudreau also because he was calling on another issue. I just mentioned this to him that this was the first time he heard it.
Oh.
He had no idea what he was going on. I'm not really sure. So I think I'm just there in case any landowners are going to be coming in and having any disputes on to talk about it. But I'm really not positive. He gave me a little advice. He said, they asked you this, tell us. I said, okay. He said, you want me there? And I said, I don't think I need you.
Okay.
So we should be good.
Okay. All right, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, see you later.
Yeah.
I make a motion to accept the minutes for last month.
Do you have a second?
I can't. I wasn't at the whole meeting.
You were. Oh,
so I can't
mean.
Speak for the whole thing.
Stand by for a second. Okay, I second the motion to accept the minutes. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of accepting the minutes as written? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, original for your file. Okay, so let's do warrants, and then so in lieu of Chris's report, did he just give you?
He sent me an update and
okay.
His report.
All right, great.
For water quality.
These are all the warrants.
What's going on, Mr. Kleekamp? Nice out there.
You can tell where everyone's sick the septic system is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spot where the...
Sherry sightings?
Not in the last 2 weeks.
She doesn't like us or something?
I'm surprised I haven't seen her.
She's not lonely.
She may have left Cape Cod.
We even offered for her to come in. I'm going to be on vacation on the week of the 23rd. And after she went to come in and do a few hours, and she said, it's been too long, I don't know.
You can't go on vacation too soon.
Is she leaving on her trip?
I don't think so.
No?
Not yet.
Okay, so I've got copies of the March 3rd. That was the only one we needed.
Correct. Okay.
Okay, why don't you complete? So did Chris give you water quality?
He did.
Okay, very good.
Under water quality, we did the quarterly byproduct testing in February, and the results came back lower than they were in the prior quarter. They were already low. So that was good results for that. We also did the manganese testing, which is required quarterly at 3 of the stations, at 1, 2, and 5. Station 5 was up from prior year. Station 2 was down, and Station 1 was pretty much the same. We did the regular bacteria testing for March. Results for that are not back yet. That was everything for water quality.
Okay. All right, we got sampling data last month.
MTBE.
Yeah, we asked for tests for petroleum and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we don't need that because that was all negative.
Correct.
All
negative. We changed the times on that, Rick? We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we're doing it quarterly.
Yeah.
We'll just see one of the last one. This was the one we got was 115, and then prior to that was 10.6, 14. So every 90 days. It makes sense. I mean, pretty much we've been in a string of non-detects for 2 years. So we'll save a little money there. Okay, very good. And then superintendent's report. Got some highlights.
So the pumpage for February of 2014 was 7,379,000 gallons. For February of 2015, it was 7,904,000, so 526,000 more than last year. There were no new services installed and no replacement services. Our new hire, Patrick Roach, started March 2nd, and Chris is very happy with his progress to date.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. He was enthusiastic.
Yeah, good guy. Chris received the final draft of the water audit that was conducted on the data of 2010 through 2012. He is reviewing that now. There are some recommendations in there. He'll be able to speak further to that maybe at the next meeting. He does have a CD if anybody wants an electronic copy. There are 3 paper copies, one for him, one for the office, and one to share if anybody wants the paper copy.
Okay. And you said, is this the final, this is the final draft?
The final draft. We filed a claim with VFIS for some damage on the 2014 Ford service truck that had a little damage plowing at the station. It went off the access road to Station 4. Basically, front bumper and front quarter panel have a little bit of damage. We're waiting for the appraiser to come out and take a look. We have a $300 deductible. be able to cover that in our budget. Chris is looking into the appropriation for the new truck for next year. Plymouth County's bid was thrown out, and they are fast-tracking for a new bid. So as soon as he has more information on that, he will.
Okay. Well, I think we still have a placeholder figure. We had it in at 30,000.
And he's still comfortable with that number.
Okay. All right. We'll keep it the same.
He's already addressed the dirty water investigation.
Yeah.
The only other thing was a follow-up with you from Charlie Eager on the fiscal year report.
That's right. I will. I made some edits to it, and I will send you the final version tomorrow morning.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I saw Charlie at a meeting, and he said something he should never say. He said, "No big rush."
Oh.
So I said, "Okay." Anyway, I'll get that to him. Email to him tomorrow. I think just to go back to the conversation that we had with Chris regarding note from our counselor. Would you just draft a quick letter and have Chris sign it and just to get back to him, let him know that we addressed the situation, we feel that we've resolved it with our customer as well as internally, and appreciate her efforts.
After I gave Chris a copy of this, I responded to Jessica, let her know that I received it and passed it on to Chris, and he was looking into it. So this can follow it up and I'll be done with.
Yeah, we'll just close the loop.
Concludes the superintendent report.
That's terrific. Thank you very much. Okay, moving down to old business. Main Street, West Street Tank. We've got Russ scheduled for 5:30. It's very close to that.
We've got to wait.
Can you dance, Russ?
I think if anyone plans to attend specifically for your presentation, we'll just have you do a light review at that point, but let's, in the interest of everyone's time, let's get started.
Well, pass it down.
Okay.
Pass it down.
You know who you're talking to, don't you?
Pass it down.
I've got in this pile, I've got a couple of extra sheets. Well, how about this? Is that mine or yours?
That's probably something I pulled off the coffee machine.
Somebody else took it to that one. Okay.
Russ, that's really big. It's a big paper.
Yeah, I printed on a smaller one.
Yeah.
I wasn't appreciated last time.
You know what, one of them, we just let you
take that one, I think. Sure. So we're looking good with the plans. What I handed out was pretty much a 90% set of plans. It was about 18 total drawing sheets. It got a little bigger than what I had originally intended, but that's okay. We got all the detail in there. Where we stand now, the few things that we have left to finalize is I did get a draft set of the electrical plans back. I have to review those to make sure that the proper SCADA components are in there, the control panels are in there. We did end up with the generator. We had talked about doing a permanent generator that has an automatic transfer switch. Given the light loads of the tank, the sizing of the generator is 8 kilowatts, and the only manufacturer that made it natural gas when that size was Generac. So that's what we're going to be moving forward with. I don't know if there's any preferences on suppliers. It's Ford versus Chevy. Some people love them, some people hate them. I've had mixed reviews with them in the past. I typically go towards the Cummins, Kohler, Caterpillar generators. Some towns swear by Generac. They want to use them and them only. We could go with a slightly larger generator and open up options, but then you're looking at an additional cost for that. So.
And this one you said is 8
kilowatts. Yeah, it's not a big load at all at the tank, what we're looking at.
Right. Well, I think originally the one we did extend to it was just a portable.
Five kW, I think.
Six, no bigger than six.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, because it's really a little heater and a couple of lights.
That's going to be the only addition to this one, is really just the heater that we're putting in. We have our instrumentation plans being reviewed by 80 instruments. I understand Chris got the new radios put in, so I had some of the older radios spec'd out, the MaxTrak or the Motorola radios that are now, I understand, not being made anymore, so they're reviewing the instrumentation plans for the last little bits of details with that. But I think other than that, we're looking in really good shape, definitely, I'd say, by the end of April. We'll look to have 100% set of plans. What I handed out tonight was just a 90% set. It's just if you want to flip through them, take a look at them, you may have some questions. The cost estimate actually went down a little bit, which is a good thing. I think before we were around the $2.3 million, now we're around the $2.1 million. Given the smaller generator size, we are able to reuse the existing electrical service on the site. That's the single-phase 100 amp that should suit the tank's needs just fine. So that's a good thing. It's down to about 2.1. We still have a $255,000 buffer in there, and we're still using the average cost of the budgetary cost from the tank manufacturer, so I expect that to be lower once it comes down to a competitive bid. But we're right around that 2.1. I would expect that to be the number that we want to carry.
All right, so we're down from the last one I have, well, this one in front of me from the fall.
Mm-hmm.
That was at 2.2, almost 2.3,
mm-hmm.
with a 360,000 contingency. So that's just dropping exponentially to 15.
Yeah, the contingency is a function of the overall total. So
correct.
It's good. I think the budget's where it needs to be. And again, I think early on I said if I did my job right, that number will hopefully only get smaller and smaller, not bigger and bigger. To get the shock and awe at the first meeting and get the praise as it goes on versus the other way around, which is always...
So right better. Now, we're carrying 2.2 in our capital plan. That would be the article.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think are you comfortable recommending that you can drop that to 2.1?
It would be. I mean, it never hurts to have a contingency or a buffer in there, but at this point I would think a 2.1, we're close enough to the final design now where I don't see any other surprises coming up. Unless
I only say that in the borrowing situation. Sure.
I mean, we have a good contingency built in there, so 2.1 should be an accurate number. Not for the tank, not related to this. No, I think this is, we're just wrapping it up right now. We've got all the input. I've had multiple reviews with Chris and have done the due diligence with all the specs, worked with the tank manufacturers, painting reps to make sure you get the most up-to-date coating spec on there.
Okay.
What's
that expectancy again for a rough time?
The life expectancy for the paint, they say about 20 to 25 years. Could be.
I'll be long gone.
Much less, yeah, if the conditions are wrong when they paint it. I don't know if you saw the tank in Centerville there, and you see the large pieces of paint flecking off that. That's something went wrong there with that application.
I noticed that the large tank sandwich off Route 130,
mm-hmm.
the whole bottom is all turned green under the bowl.
Yeah,
it's not that old a tank.
No, it's starting to happen to this one.
That's not sandwich. But
what's the base?
Yeah, it's
right Route 130.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a sandwich water department tank, but it's...
Yeah.
sandwich prop town goes into that.
Right, we all, everybody.
I just looked at it about 45 minutes ago.
It does. The coating systems they use, the base, I forget the name of the paint or the system, but it's a fairly coarse system that has a bit of a surface texture to it. So any airborne debris, dirt starts to hit it over the years. And it's just like something going through a water main. That's not a real smooth line. Any little bit of debris or dirt that hits there starts to attract more and more and more. The upgraded painting scheme, which is what we use, is that hydroflon. It has a much slicker finish, but inevitably it still does catch some of the airborne debris and things like that. But it can be power washed relatively easily and knock it back down. I think Chris has been talking about doing that, or they mentioned of it.
Yeah, it is interesting to see how some tanks do tend to react to the mildew. You see them pick up a lot more than others.
Plus the lighter tank's going to show it off. I mean, you're going to see it quite a bit more. You still want the same color of tank? That's what you read on the Santua tank?
Yeah.
Tank white?
And there is a painting detail that could do it. The same painting scheme, what's on the tank now, it's going to be there, but we put a detail in the plans.
Okay. And I think at this point, just for pure economic reasons, it's time to drop the gratuitous lettering, from that structure. Obviously, the person on the tank has a lettering on it. With the advent of GPS, I think everybody knows where they are.
Yeah.
So I think the expense of painting that is somewhere, it's like $15,000 to $18,000.
We can drop that if you don't want that easy enough.
Unless it's for discussion on
there, I just think it would avoid some issues at district meetings if some of the ones would have a different name up there.
Yeah. And I think the
no lettering is fine.
I think the reason, just for pure cost reasons, it was, it's like, remember, about 10 years ago, this guy offered to paint the stack over at the same power plant to look at the lighthouse. And the utility said, thanks. We really appreciate that. We think that would look wonderful. But as a public company, even with your free labor, you can't justify spending the money.
What could go wrong with that?
And we're doing a lighthouse. Exactly. Any other questions?
Some block enclosure, Bob?
CMU. Like a concrete block. Very similar to the Marshfield. I don't know if you've been up inside the Marshfield tank.
Okay.
But it's a little cleaner than the wooden applications.
Like 7 feet, 6 feet, how tall?
Do we have a dimension there? There should be an architectural page that shows them in UK detail. But I can come back at the next, next meeting. If you take a look at these, there's any final comments that we want to change. We can do last minute things before it goes out the bid. I think it's what, June or after the public hearing is when.
Yeah, it's going to be after. Well, right after the morning.
Okay.
Russ, just be careful you don't hog tie yourself on any of those walls. Just get them wide enough.
Yeah. We spaced it 4 feet. It's you need a 3 foot clearance from the panels.
Yeah.
So it's 3 foot wide to move around, and that was based on what the Marshfield tank was. We had plenty of mobility.
Yeah, you were doing good in there when you went up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we had plenty of mobility. And plus
nothing worse than that when you get there and you add an extra 2 feet.
Yep.
You run into yourself in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ, do we have the provisions in this structure for non-building tenants?
We do. Yeah.
I think we call it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, speaking of the antennas, We're taking one down and over. The antennas that are up there are going to be put where?
To be determined.
I thought we, when we went over that before, that there's a contingency in our contracts to let them place a temporary structure, or they have the ability to temporarily place their tank, their antennas. I don't know how they would do it. I'm just thinking a bucket truck, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, they have a temporary antenna that they put in. I've seen it before. It's not a long-term fix.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how it works.
Now, the antennas that are on the one that's going to be coming down permanently, not replaced, if they put those on the new one, is there any problem with them and their alignments?
It's too far away.
They might not want that, yeah.
Yeah, they've already confirmed that they can't. It's messing up this. They have a little bit of flexibility how far they can move, but once they have their system triangulated or however it's set up, it doesn't work with how it's going.
Right. So there's the possibility of erecting a monopole.
There you get it. Yeah.
That's what Plymouth just put on.
I know. We ought to just not even hesitate with that. I think we got to put up mobile tower. Mobile antenna. They're all banging them out right now. I mean, it's just part of the mix. It's income.
Right. Yeah.
And that's something now that watching a lot of towns put out RFPs or RFQs. They go out there and install the sites and build your tower, you know, work with the separate antenna company and work with the cell phone vendors and locate it appropriately. And they probably want to do it after you take that tank down. Just, well, you know, if I need something up there before so they can swap antennas over.
Yeah, I don't know how far away. We talked about it being in that piece of property heading back out into the...
Well, once we get the new tank up and running, I mean, that demolition of the second one, it's almost an independent project that you aren't.
Yeah.
It's nice having that second tank while we're doing
the
West Street. You know, it gives us that flexibility to put it up. So if it takes longer to demo it, that's it is what it is. It's not going to affect the performance of the new tank.
Yeah, no, we just turn it. We just going to empty it, that's all. Maybe a full...
Okay. I don't think it's specifically on the agenda, but have you had any further conversations with Dan?
No. Might be time to start thinking about a plan B, if there's a plan B. When it comes to the fiber optics, the experience that I have with it personally, we're doing them on a big parking lot now for the Steamship Authority. It's a 20-acre site. They do all fiber optic cameras. It's all underground conduits that are put in. Dan had an interesting concept putting in above ground poles to get the fiber optic above ground. That was specific for him and what he wanted. I think at this point what might be a good thing is to call in specials and say, what's the cheapest way to get fiber optic to these cameras, and what would you like to see, being someone who's extremely experienced in the field? I'd recommend to Chris, if you wanted to, the company I was working with, the Steamship Authority, does these cameras in parking lots all over the place. Securidyne is the name of the company. I'm sure I could get someone coming just to give us a little.
It takes me all the way back to the beginning of this whole process. When we first went onto this thing, my thought process was this was going to be underground totally. Yeah, you know, and then we have a right of way through to the. If we wanted to cross 28, we have a right of way on pipe going there as it is right now. Right. I'm not saying it has to be fiber optic. I mean, kind of let go of the rope because I feel like you get beat up pretty good by Open Cape, but this stuff still is going in all over the place. You guys are using this stuff.
Well, then let's do that. Russ, why don't you give Chris the contact at that company and see if he can pursue an assessment from them.
So that parking lot down there in Falmouth is all, it's been they put in like Sketch 40 or DR26 or something to run it through.
Sketch 40, 2-inch.
Yeah, 2-inch Sketch 40.
Yep.
And they're blowing like a four band through there or something like that?
Six band. I just got the shop drawings the other day for them. Mm-hmm. But they put them all down at the Palmer Ave parking lot. And I haven't even mentioned anything to this company. company.
And the command center is in that?
They have an office there on site.
On site.
So it does have to be hardwired into it. I mean, if it is an underground system, I believe there's about 10,000 feet of linear feet that has to be connected for all the well stations and the tanks. So then it just comes down to that cost. I mean, you're putting the conduit and the wire underground. If we can avoid going across Route 28, all the better. I think there's one spot we may have to go eventually, go underneath it, but it's not the end of the world. So we have to look at that cost, what that is. And be positive, you know, thinking wishfully, it would be about that $200,000, 20 bucks a foot.
20's high. Yes. 20's real high. What are you going to get down there? At the Woods Hole?
It was a lump sum bid.
13?
I've asked
12.
The foot numbers with the wires pulled, and it's
20?
Materials, the wire's not that much.
So I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, it's about 2 foot buried, so it's not.
It's nothing to that. Nothing. There's no work on that.
When it goes to contractors outside,
yeah.
That's what these guys are telling me. I've talked to a few estimators.
That's why a lot of the guys do the work themselves. Well, we're back to stage one.
All right. Any other discussion? Questions for us? Okay. Russ, I think that we're going to present the preliminary articles to the Friendship Committee this month. Although the warrant will close. So if there are adjustments and anything significant, we still have time to just change the dollars.
Okay.
Until that point. But at this stage, I think first round presentation to the Prudential Committee will go with 2.1.
Sure. Well, it's maybe between now and the next meeting if everyone wants to look at the plans just to make sure there's nothing alarming that sticks out or who knows. But then the great 2.1, I believe, is a good number. And if we have to do some minute changes. But, again, those are all rounded, and I don't think we're going to find a $100,000 change going through the plans. So I hope not.
Right. I think it seems to me, at least from my going through this process, I think we've addressed everything thoroughly in a timely manner. And I do want to thank you and your company for performing, pretty much the way you said you were going to, and getting us these numbers, with a nice cushion before we had to go in, as opposed to delivering them in the parking lot of the credentials just going in the door.
I appreciate that.
We got that.
We appreciate it.
We got that down, don't we?
So, okay, that's great. Well,
Russ, I have one more question on the have you any idea, or do we have any way of knowing what an estimate on the steel is going to be? Is it already you put that in the in the process yet?
They will give you a specific breakdown once you get...
When we do that?
When the bid comes in for the tank, when they give you the budgetary number, they just give you a lump sum. They don't break it out to the foundation, the steel, the riser pipes, the interior stud features, the electric.
Is that something that we're going to be able to show us coming off of the total?
I can give you a pretty good estimate of what it is. What do you?
I just wonder. I just was just nosy thinking about what are we going to.
You're asking about the demo steel.
Yeah, I want to know what the steel's going to get us back.
Oh,
yeah.
The demolition.
I'm not going to hold you to it. I just was wondering. I mean, there's got to be.
We can call scrap yards and see what the bulk range.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be something though.
I don't know tonnage-wise how much it is. I could guess from the tanks, but it would be nothing more than a guess. I don't know if I could find any.
I don't have any idea. So.
It does have salvage value, absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's good steel. But whatever, 100 and something ton, I don't know.
If they do have to take it down piece by piece, instead of being a 100,000 demo, it might be a 50,000 demo. I think I carried a number of 85 grand, which even that's probably a little bit on the comfortable side. But again, you never know competitive-wise what these guys are going to come in at. We got some quotes a little bit higher, but they didn't really come out and take a good look at it. I don't know what the cost of steel or the salvage value of it was back then. So I think in a competitive bid, it's going to be close to that. I think the tank in Centerville was about $70,000 when they took that one down, that $200,000. It was $250,000-gallon tank, that old one before they built the new one.
Up there off of Shoot Fine Hill?
Yeah.
Years it was like ago. A million-gallon tank, wasn't it, Bob?
No, the one that they took down.
The old one?
Yeah.
It might have been 200.
So what was the one that they just took down beside the new one that they have in Centerville? I forget. I talked to Crocker about it. I now forget what it was.
I'm not sure.
That was at least a million-gallon tank. He might know.
It was a standpipe or a reservoir?
It was just like one of ours. It was an erector set.
Million-gallon elevator?
Yeah, it was a big one. I'll find out. What's that?
Where in Centerville was that?
Yeah, right where the new one is, where the paint's coming off.
Yeah, that one that was there before was about a 250,000-gallon tank.
Oh, that's all it was?
Yeah, it was small.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it had that was about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe?
When it came down? Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
But Craig mentioned that, but when talking to him, he said he thought it was about 70,000. He sent me an email on that.
Yeah.
So there is... I did work in the demolition of that tank as a bid alternate. So if it comes in very high and we want to look at rerouting water mains and toppling it, that's something we can do. I'm a little hesitant with, I don't know how old that main is that runs through there, but if you topple this thing and start sending vibrations down, you know, is that the first tick in a windshield that isn't an issue? But 5 years from now, and you get joints that start breaking that, you know, just... But we can look at that and see, you know, what those prices come in. I purposely put that in there as a bit alternate. Do you know how old that pipe is that runs through there?
No.
I don't. I think he said part of it was pretty old, but not the whole thing.
Part of it was new, I think, too.
Yeah, or the part was new then.
From what he said.
Yeah. You know, 100% of it is more than 15 years old. Because I wasn't around when it
was. I think I'm more about the old cast iron. I don't know if it had any of those lead core joints or anything like that that are a little more subject to vibration. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to find any. I don't think there's lead. I don't think you're going to find four joints here.
Not yet.
You're not going to find them here or in Centerville or anything. It's all
iron.
It's all iron.
That's the only But I know that's probably...
Well, that's the original. That's the old system that started this whole mess.
Right.
I've never seen a poor joint down here.
Okay, so that's probably not the case then. We did... there is a little bit of news. I don't know if anyone's still thinking about the solar stuff we talked about, but at the last... Or whenever we gave a presentation, we had mentioned there's a deadline or a cap on the megawatts coming out. That has been extended. So they did put another 1,200 megawatts out there on that SREC program, which... extends the time frame. You know, it's probably it's something you're considering, but you still may want to think about it.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that when you were wrapping up. That's part of our continuing conversation about, because we had a positive response to it from just sitting around talking.
Yeah. If you want to open up then in a public hearing or something like that, that's fine.
Right. Well, the big question was that I think your guys had suggested they may have some ideas. Is the 10-year, you know, lease term that we can commit to versus the 20 that's the standard. So, I mean, if there's some real feasible ways to work with that 10-year term, then I believe that would be
definitely. I think there may be. Again, for our specific case, it's not the right fit, but we have kind of a very unique solar profile we look for in a project, just given our funding sources. But these other companies, these larger Borregos and Blue Waves and Enteros that do the landfill jobs and all this, I mean, their funding sources are so much more, that's the word I'm looking for.
Well, what kind of lease did Born sign up there? Is that
exactly
because,
that.
I mean, well, is it?
I'm not sure what Born did. I'd probably guess a 20 because that's the standard, but there's ways they can do it for 10 or for less than all.
That's the Born.
It's fire districts.
Yeah, my thought process is, the money that's saved in the first 10 years, buy the system out after 10 years, and then you never have to pay. Then you save exponentially more, quite a bit more.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it for 10 years and piggy bank that money, and you own yourself a solar system.
Right.
Then you can just hire, so it's relatively low money for operations and maintenance. I'm going to say for a rooftop, a 10,000 square foot rooftop system, it's about $1,000 or $1,200 a year for, you know, minimal maintenance. You know, it's one thing if you have a fence and then you have to start replacing fence posts and the kids cut it and stuff like that, you know, things like that happen. But I would definitely entertain, at least put out an RFQ and have a take suggestions from proposals. If Steve comes back and gives you the best, you can give him a mock scenario, whoever you think gives you the best best scenario, you sit down and work out the power report for purchase agreement with them.
Well, if we could take a significant amount of that electric bill off the books, it'd be pretty damn good.
It is a pretty good bill, too.
Yep.
$75,000 this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Yeah, that would be very good.
Let us know if you want presentations or, you know, we could write the RFQ for you and manage it, you know, and provide comments, oversight on it. That's a relatively low. You see solar RFQs go out all the time. That would not be a big investment at all, probably the magnitude of a couple $1,000s. And then just whatever the hourly review time is to attend meetings or review respondents coming in.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
Thanks for us.
Yep, no problem.
Appreciate it.
Don't forget your phone, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. See you later.
All right, see you later.
Good luck with the car.
Thank you.
Pass it down.
Pass it down. Thank you.
He broke the plug to his plug in
the car. No, there's something that doesn't matter.
I mean, the engineer who wasn't done it, that's it. Nothing yet. I bet he wishes he could fill up a red can full of electricity.
Dump it in there.
I will say that of all the people that we've had come, engineering companies, he's by far the one I get the most out of. And the easiest, he's been responsive to us, and like you said, it has been good for me.
Yeah.
Not knowing as much as...
He did a good job with the other tank, too.
Yeah. So, I didn't want him to hear it, but I think he did a great job.
I think he gets along with Chris Kidd too, so I think that's a lot, a big part of it. That he and Chris, you know, have a good relationship. Chris could talk to him, and he can take a lot of the heat off of Chris and the stuff that Chris doesn't have time to do.
Right.
And Russ will manage.
Oh, yeah.
Russ will be on the job. He'll manage the job. He'll do a lot of stuff that, you know, we need to have covered. And then on nickel and diamond, yeah.
Under old business, Barnstable Land Trust in Lowell Park. So Chris is at the hearing this evening, and that's regarding the DEP and their approval of the conservation language that's going into the easement. So it would be in conjunction with the town of Barnstable. I attended the town of Barnstable town council meeting last week, maybe it was the week before, and they held a vote for the funding of their portion of the purchase. So their portion is $225,000, and that passed almost unanimously, is my recollection. Maybe one opposed, and then the secondary article that went along with that was the town of Barnstable outright purchasing the buffer acreage around the ball field. And again, that article passed and they appropriated those funds, and again with a near majority, again, I think maybe one opposed, 12 in favor. So that's, all we can do, I guess, on the municipal side. So our funding's in place. The town is, both their funding appropriations are done. So it's really up to the land trust to finish up with their private
balance,
donors.
Yeah.
However, they're going to get it over the top. So, on the municipal side and the fire district side, everything's funded.
Good.
Ready to go. And I guess Chris will give us a report back if, as long as everything goes okay with DEP and the approved language, then again, I'd say that's all moving ahead. So we just have to wait for confirmation from Barnstable Land Trust at what point they assemble the monies and then give us the word that they're ready to close. And again, that's, I think at this stage of the game, our real participation is done. We've given our input to everything. Obviously, Chris is available this evening for our input to the DEP. The council seemed like they had... The council had... pretty much reviewed everything, and in their earlier presentation where they didn't vote, I don't know why they didn't vote, but they certainly didn't need much more information to make their decision this time.
Right.
So that's all set. So I mean, really, that's a prudential committee article. So I would say, for all practical purposes, the work of this board and the water department.
Good.
Done everything you can there. And then next, 2016 budget. So in our last meeting, we reviewed all of the proposed increases with the superintendent. I think that he pretty much explained everything that we had questions on. This budget, and Jen, maybe correct me if I'm mistaken, but this is the same. We haven't made any changes.
Copy this in your packet tonight. The only changes that are in place are on the insurance, property and liability, and vehicle insurance. I was able to get a closer quote from the insurance company.
So it's higher.
No, it's not. They estimate, well, yes and no. They estimate on the high side, our increase will be 5%. On the low side, 2%.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is the policy is priced together with the fire department, and they may have some additional loss that we don't have, so we don't necessarily benefit from that. So it could, what I've budgeted in here is the high side 5% increase. It could go down if the actual policy is a 2%.
So that's the $54,500?
Correct, and the vehicle insurance.
Okay.
So I increased 5% from actual.
So that is last.
And then I've updated expended to date through the warrants that you signed tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was any changes in the total expected cost for the year.
Okay, cool. All right, so currently it looks like we're at 388,200, and that's including overtime. Okay. Is that overtime number?
That includes on-call and overtime, but not salary.
Not salary, yeah, exclusive salary. Okay, so
what we'll do is let's do the research that we do every year in all the other departments to see where their increases are, if any, in salaries, and compare that to CPI, and then we'll finish up with that prior to the April Financial Committee meeting. But we'll present this base budget exclusive of the salaries along with our five-year plan as we brought it along. And really, we don't have any hard expenses for 17 to fill in here. So I guess we'll just present the two proposed articles for the 2016 budget, which would be $2.1 million for tank replacement and $30,000 for truck replacement. And that may be subject to change if Chris gets the further, refines the information that he's looking for in price. I feel like that's low, $30,000. I don't know why I've bought a new truck lately, but it just seems like it doesn't seem like much. But we can change that again. He may have more information at our April meeting, which I believe is the 16th. So it's early enough in the month that we'll be able to. So the 16th would be the regularly scheduled meeting. Do you want to just take a minute now and see if that works?
Okay.
It's good for me. It's the third Thursday. Yes.
Move over here.
Nice kick launch. How about you, Ted?
You're looking right now.
So excluding salaries and everything, the change in the increase in our budget is very minimal. I mean, if you're going to give it a percentage mark, it shouldn't be much. People like to know what the percentage is between one and the other.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can talk about that. I think we're meeting early this month, obviously, because of schedules. Prudential is probably going to be a week from Monday. Let's see.
I'm good.
Okay. Well, the Prudential Committee is probably the 23rd. That'd be my guess. 16. All right, I'll look that up. But, yeah, I think for now I'm comfortable with bringing, we'll present this to them, give them the basic maintenance and operations miscellaneous, and then fill in the salary. All right, good. Any other discussion on budget? All right, and we've set our date for next month's meeting, April 16th, 5 o'clock here. And any proposed new business to bring up in April?
So our time frame for taking down the Main Street tank, we're probably looking out to 2016. Is that right?
Calendar?
Mm-hmm.
16? That seems realistic.
If we want to do a cell tower, do we need to approach that now, or do we need to approach it later on for the following year?
Well,
My understanding of how that will probably go, and we don't have to get into it too deep because we can obviously gather more information in a presentation. Typically, my understanding is we would do a ground lease to a tower company.
I get you.
Who would then have the cell companies as their tenants. So we would have no capital outlay as far as the cost of constructing and maintaining the tower, which would be just a single, what they call a monopole, just a big black hole. And therefore, there's no capital outlay, so there's no article, and it's really just entering into a lease agreement with the provider. I mean, it seems to be the way to go as far as, yes, you do decrease the revenue stream, but at the same time, you don't have the expense of building the structure or maintaining it.
Right.
I think we could certainly entertain that direction, and if they want, 75% of the revenues, okay, then maybe we back up and look at the cost of erecting that kind of structure. But again, don't forget, within our, it's kind of a slippery slope. What we've been doing is leasing space on a structure that is well within our capability and our purview to lease space on. I mean, this commission is responsible for the waterworks and all the properties they're under. We don't necessarily have in our powers the ability to construct radio antennas. And so I don't even know if we're able to build a structure that's not related to the waterworks. So I think at that point, leasing.
Well, that would be the same thing as we're doing with the solar stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
the solar would be purely to generate electricity for the operation of the waterworks. That's well
there's
within
that connection, yeah.
That's well within our Enabling Act and within the within our powers under the bylaws of the fire district. The Water Commission has the power to construct anything that's related to the waterworks. I mean, people have to approve the funding, but provided that it makes sense. But again, as I'm saying, a telephone communication tower doesn't fall under that situation. The land falls under the Kituah Fire District, and so the fire district can go to and make it. This property here is controlled by the fire district, and they could put panel antennas up on the roof of this building. I mean, that can do it. It's just a way to generate revenue. And when we first started this program of leasing to the cell companies, as I said, it was on existing structures that were in a location and at an elevation that was desirable to the cell phone providers to put their equipment up there.
Yeah, we're going to find out if they're interested in the tank, too, I would imagine, before we do anything with the cell tower. They're interested in the tank and the Newtown road tank.
Mm-hmm.
They need a tower.
And that's something that we could move ahead with and do an RFP for that location because we do have the fiber right there at the pole. And even though we haven't concluded our agreement, if we ever will conclude our agreement with Open Cape to host the public safety equipment up there, irregardless of that, Dan has said that he's more than happy to hook up commercial customers, and I guarantee you, we've already determined that there's a conduit available in that bank of underground conduit that we can use a dedicated one for that cable. And then, therefore, we can host our cellular antenna tenants with a direct connection to the fiber, which is advantageous.
just have one question. If we go to leasing the space for a tower, a pole to be erected, would they be the ones that would negotiate the leases on top of that pole? So it would take a burden off us, because I'm sure they would lease to their advantage, which would be to our advantage.
Okay.
Depending on what our, we wouldn't be in the leasing. We would have to negotiate with them, go through all that stuff.
Right. It would save, I mean, in the long term, again, it's a good point. We save legal dollars working with the attorneys to negotiate with the leases.
And the headache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole thing of maintaining it. You know, who knows where that business is going. But we get, well, clearly we're limited to 10 years. We can get a 10-year commitment from a cellular company. And again, you know, bringing that point up, and that 10-year factor may not make it super attractive to one of these antenna, you know, a tower company to come in. But I have a feeling that those monopoles, they're not super. We're not talking about $2 million.
I don't think you're talking about, I'd be surprised if it's $100,000.
Yeah, it's significantly less. So we may be able to...
Do we want to? Do you feel like we should keep moving in the right direction with the solar, with Green Seal?
And yeah, let's do two things under new business.
Yeah.
Let's actually call that out. Let's see, solar panel. Call it solar panel installation. No, it's not really.
Solar panel field. Yep.
Okay. Solar panel field. And then secondly, let's go with wireless. RFP, send to a tank, wireless RFP.
I think it's a good idea to keep moving forward to get ahead of the curve, because it's going to show up like no time for us now. Once we start going on tanks, it's going to just be here. It's going to get right on top of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That looks good.
Yep.
Any other items for new business next month? That should do it. Maybe two new ones. And finish the budget. And I don't know that there'll be anything new with the Lowell Park land at that point. I think we're kind of cruising with that until we finish the funding on their end.
Do you have something with the... us going to any of these meetings with the local group here for the budget? Or we've done it over the last few years.
Yeah,
it's
scheduled. I thought I sent you guys an email with those dates. Civic Association regular meeting in April, which is budget night, is Tuesday the 21st.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then the next one in May, which I believe is the 19th, is candidates night. So that's the week prior to the election. We're hosting candidate night. And then I think what we'll do is look them up, we'll fill in the dates for the Prudential Committee meeting for this month. And some of us or all of us can go and present what we have for budget, and then we'll get at that point they'll give us the date for their last meeting before the warrant closes. So
which night was that for Prudential?
I'm not sure. It's either the 16th or the 23rd, I guess.
Of May?
Of March.
Of March?
Yeah, for the March meeting.
Their March meeting where we're going to present our first draft of our budget.
Okay. That's coming up next
I'm
week.
I'm going to say that it's the 23rd.
I'm in Chantilly, Virginia, in D.C., Monday and Tuesday. That's the 16th and 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, of course. Are we out of...
I'm in Southern California for the 2 weeks.
What's that, bro?
Well, actually, we can, you know what, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Okay, meeting's adjourned. We can... discussion here. So my sense is I think it's actual